Tim Head is the executive director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, which works to mobilize the biblical voters. And right now, we're going to talk about Christianity and politics today, including the unpopularity of Joe Biden, the January 6th committee, God and abortion, including prominent pro-abortion politicians and their own churches disagreeing with their stance. For example, Nancy Pelosi and communion. Should she receive it? One bishop says no. Another bishop says yes. Some Protestants claim God favors abortion rights. To me, that's like the pro-slavery folks in the antebellum South claiming God was on their side. Well, to unpack these and other issues related to politics and the faith is Tim Head, again, the executive director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, which is based in Atlanta. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Tim, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Well, first of all, how about a global statement related to Christianity and politics? And here we are in a context, an American context, and some people say, well, in America, because of separation church and state, the church should never be talking about politics and so forth, and the church should have no influence on politics. And what are your thoughts on that, just as a starting point?
Well, I think you have to start by acknowledging that, at this point, I think good estimates have just over 70 million evangelical Christians in the United States of America. We're not talking about like an institutionalized church. We're just talking about American citizens that have worldviews and religious perspectives and opinions on things. And so I think it's a little bit of a farce to say that Americans with Christian worldviews should not be able to participate, and Americans with other ideologies or religions should be able to participate. We've actually seen in doing some pretty close analysis over about the last six presidential elections that between 36 and 37% of the entire electorate, not the Republican electorate, of the entire electorate is Bible believing, either evangelical or what we call faithful Catholic, someone who attends Mass regularly. So the reality is that it is the largest constituency of any constituency, any way you slice American politics. And so Christianity is rampant for sure, and also is pervasive in American political ethos.
When you use the phrase 70 million evangelicals, then in effect you're saying 70 million evangelicals and faithful Catholics. Is that right? I mean, as far as the 70 million.
Well, so it's actually it's beyond that for Catholics as well, but just for on the evangelical side, it's actually a huge number.
Wow, well that is substantial. You mean even more than gays? I'm being facetious there in one sense, but on the other hand, my goodness, you would think that if a Martian were to visit America, they would think half the country is gay, and then the other half wants to be so.
You're right. There is a kind of a disproportionate media representation there. But speaking of that's disproportionately large, you would say disproportionately small representation of Christians in media and kind of another kind of public context. Yeah.
Okay. Well, while we're on the subject of numbers, okay, since you gave the number of 70 million evangelicals, what would the number roughly be of what you call faithful Catholics?
So the percentage, so we define that not just we Faith and Freedom, but in kind of in political circles, we look at frequent mass attendance.
Right, so right. And what's the number?
There's kind of an external demonstration of that. And that that kind of lands around probably another 15 to 20 million. So there are many more than that that identify as Catholics, to be sure. You know, maybe go on Christmas and Easter and other kind of high holy days. But in terms of attending Mass once a week, that's between another 15 and 20 million. So you're actually talking about 85 or 90 million people who are kind of Orthodox Christians, if you will, either Catholics or Protestant evangelicals.
And then there's also the third branch of Christianity, which is the Orthodox. That would include Coptic Christians, Russian Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, and I don't know where they stand politically, but some of them are conservative, I'm sure.
That's right. That's right. So, you clearly are seeing that a huge swath of America are some kind of striation, if you will, of Bible believing and historical or Orthodox Christians, which is the reason, frankly, why from a political strategy perspective, there's such an effort to A, to kind of splinter those groups, and then B, to kind of suppress or frustrate them, to kind of, communicate messages that depress that turnout.
You know, what's interesting about that is I've heard some people say in the faith community, they've implied along the lines of, well, we saw, all that, all those irregularities. I love that term. That comes from Molly Hemingway, author of the book Rigged. We saw all those irregularities in the 2020 election. Of course, you can't say there was any cheating. Otherwise, then CNN would accuse you of perpetuating the big lie. But here's the bottom line. Some are concluding from that, well, why even bother to vote? Because my vote's not going to be counted properly. And that's a very concerning thought because, that 85 million or whatever Americans, we all need to get out there and vote our biblical values. Otherwise, the country's lost.
That's I think that's exactly right, Jerry. And honestly, as we sit here in the middle of June in 2022, I would say probably that phenomenon of people staying home and kind of throwing in the towel is probably the most lurking danger in the political ether right now for the center right and for 2022 being an overwhelmingly successful political cycle.
Wow. And, let's just put it on the table. D. James Kennedy, in fact, the ultimate founder of this radio station, D. James Kennedy, said that it is a sin not to vote. And I'm sure he would add to that, not to vote, especially you're voting your biblical values. Okay, let's just go with a bunch of issues. Bing, 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 real fast. Okay, Joe Biden and his unpopularity. How does that relate in any way to the Christian values?
Well, I'll say at least the good news here is that Joe Biden of 2022 he's definitely wearing kind of his true colors. The Joe Biden of the 90s was at times could be a little more elusive, but I think it's pretty clear what the Biden administration is proffering, which not only is just sort of neutral or agnostic on faith-based issues, but actually is hostile to issues related to life and certainly kind of traditional family and marriage. We've been able to kind of rebut several things related to Israel so far, but he's no friend of Israel, that's to be sure. I think that, aside from all of the other disasters of foreign policy and the economy and monetary policy on social issues, he is fully in line with the radical left at this point.
All right. The January 6th committee.
Well, honestly, at this point, I think you have to call this more theater than anything. If they were so urgently looking for results, it wouldn't have taken them, a year and a half to do an investigation and start to hold hearings. They would have been having hearings all along. The reason why they're bringing it back up is to try to kind of prime the pump, if you will, both to galvanize the political left and then again, to kind of suppress or repress the political right. And what this does is it's not necessarily that it persuades, either Jerry or Tim from voting how Jerry and Tim want to vote. What it does is it's designed to kind of like squelch, each individual center-right voter so that they're not kind of like a broadcaster. They're just an individual agent, you know what I'm saying? So that's the kind of the design of this January 6th commission. It's not real substantive. It's a suppression measure.
Okay, along those lines, how about a comment about Trump and the values voters?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, you know, he's obviously he's been out of office for about a year and a half now, but a lot of his policy successes either are still being enjoyed kind of indirectly, things like child tax credits and things of that nature, or you know, what we're kind of standing on the brink of a new Supreme Court opinion that we're expecting to be released really any day at this point. You know, the leak is probably the most publicized judicial leak, opinion leak in the history of America, for that matter. So it's more anticipation on exactly what the kind of fine print of the opinion is. But we do have a pretty strong suspicion that the Supreme Court is going to gut this Roe versus Wade, you know, 1973 opinion and make in some form or fashion, it's looking like they're going to make that issue more of a state issue, which is what it was prior to that Supreme Court precedent. So that's going to remind a lot of people, you know, yet again, that the results and the policies of Trump administration, how in line they were and continue to be, for that matter, you know, with Christian values and precepts.
Look at the way the left has ignored, for all practical purposes, the implications of the protests in front of the Supreme Court justices. For example, there was an attempt, or a man was going to try to kill Kavanaugh, or so we said, and all of the networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, and CNN, they all ignored that story. They didn't give even a second of airtime to that story as of this recording. That's astounding. Your comment about that, you know, trying to basically bully the Supreme Court justices to change their votes.
Well, there's no secret that, you know, that was the design of the leak in the first place, which is the reason why John Roberts has been so, you know, up in arms and trying to figure out what who the leaker was of that opinion, you know, several weeks ago. But the design wasn't it was certainly to intimidate. But the kind of vehicle for that was to, you know, to offer fodder, if you will, to kind of you know, to pro-choice and leftist advocates, but even potentially outliers like this exact scenario. And this was kind of the worst possible scenario that you can imagine. But you know, the story that you're alluding to, if your listeners haven't heard, just a few days ago, the Secret Service and Capitol Police found an individual literally one block from the Kavanaugh's home, and in his backpack he had a couple of different magazines of ammunition. He actually had zip ties. There was a firearm, obviously, as well as a knife. So this was not just kind of like a troublemaker or even a vandal, for that matter. I mean, this was a very serious, premeditated situation that was stoked and prompted by the leak of the Supreme Court, you know, opinion. So the fact that media, and by the way, you know, within 12 hours of the arrest, the Senate had voted to allocate more money for the Secret Service and Capitol Police to protect homes as well as schools of Supreme Court justices' children, and the court itself. And it took several days for Pelosi in the House to put this up for a vote. So finally, she put it up for a vote just in the last 2 days. But you know, really, kind of a lot of political jockeying, and instead of just doing the right thing. And then, you know, to your original question, the media being just mind-blowingly silent on this situation is it's not just offensive. That is an absolute dereliction of their duty.
Oh, we're out of time. I wanted to ask you about God and abortion. We'll save that for some future discussion. What is your website, Tim?
Our website is ffcoalition.com.
Okay. Tim Head, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you.